The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
How are you, sir?
This is Pierre.
Oh.
I can't believe I'm talking to you, Dr. Ray the Great.
Well, I don't know about that.
I love listening to you. You have a personality just like my father.
I don't think you should feel helpless. You are helpless.
Doctor, I really appreciate that. That makes me feel a lot better.
You be at peace, or else I'm going to yell at you.
Trying to find a reason to speak to you. I think you're the best thing since sliced bread.
That Ray, he's something.
Thank you so much for what you're doing for all the parents out there.
I don't know what I can possibly do.
I don't either.
I'm getting my money worth, I think, at this phone call.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Being loved for my mind, wanting to have meaningful conversation, in touch with my inner sensitive man, able to communicate. You know, my wife said to me last night, I couldn't believe this. She asked me, are you even listening to me? And I thought to myself, well, that's a funny way to start a conversation. Good to have you here. It's always good to have you here. I'm Dr. Ray. Program, The Doctor Is In. I think they said that in the intro. The number, they don't give you that in the intro, is 877-573-7825. Now, that's kind of hard to remember, really, because it doesn't lend itself well to any kind of, you know, you don't say it's, the number is 800-444-1212. It doesn't do, it's not that. Been petitioning to get that, but 1-800-KID-BRAT. No, that's not a good one either. 877-57-EQUAL. If you want to remember it that way, it only breaks it down into three parts. If you'd like to get onto the air with a question or a comment or something of helpfulness to someone who previously called in or is, you know, if you're good at it, who is about to call in. They haven't even called yet, but you're going to be helpful. I'm a psychologist. That's my profession. That's what I do professionally. Here I can educate, give you thoughts and ideas, hopefully something helpful here and there, or sometimes nothing helpful, and you even say to yourself, well, if that's all that guy's got to offer, I must be doing pretty good. And what you don't understand is that was exactly my intent. I sacrifice myself looking inept so that you feel good about yourself. 877-57-EQUAL, the number to call to get onto the program, question about a kid, grown up, someone in your life frustrating you, not frustrating you, circumstance, situation, sometimes a faith intersectional question. Okay, enough of that badinage. I had about six monologues I was pondering to do today. I didn't know which one to really do. I'll do this one. Not unusually, marriage couple come into the office and they are at different planes, if you will, on their embracing of the faith. One of them sees the faith as something that is much more influential in their lives, and the other is maybe lukewarm. Lukewarm. He or she kind of muddles along in the faith. The tailwind of the more obviously pious, faithful partner. As the therapy progresses, the, if you want to say more faithful, I'm going to use that word because I don't really know how else to summarize it. I don't want to say more spiritual, more religious, more embracing. Let's just say more faithful. Spouse expresses frustration because the marriage is not as Jesus-guided, influenced, as they would like. Real simple. We talk, things unfold. Now, one of the rules of doing any kind of decent therapy, you ought to be very, very careful how you say things that are potentially threatening to someone. an insight, a thought, a connection that they might be sensitive to hearing. You have to watch how you broach the subject. You gingerly tiptoe up to the very line of saying, revealing something that you think would be good for them to hear, but that they might not want to hear. So, we have two people differently approaching the faith. One sees him or herself as just a very faithful person, very, very embracing of Jesus and his church. The other acknowledges that he or she is not at that point, not at that level. They don't approach marriage that way. They're decent people. They're not a bad person. They're a decent human being, but they just aren't as, in many respects, aren't as pious as the other. If I gingerly take this approach, I could be in trouble, and I have been in trouble. If I say something to the effect, now keeping in mind, I stretch it out and I say it as gently as I can. I don't say it as straightforward as I'm going to say it here because I'm bound by time here. There, I'm not bound by time. If I say, do you see yourself as more guided by God principles, Jesus principles, church principles than your spouse? Yes. Yes, I do. And you see that as a problem in your marriage because your marriage would be a lot better, a lot more intimate, a lot more satisfying if your spouse were. Yes. You operate out of a very different set of virtues. Is that safe to say? Now, I sound like a lawyer on a cross-examination, but I'm doing it gently here because I know where I'm going with this. Yes. So, really, forgiveness or tolerance, kindness, overlooking offense is much more important to the way you see things because you want to be a disciple of your faith than as your spouse sees things. Your spouse doesn't see them quite that way. These are more important to you, right? Yes. Well, then, because you operate out of a different virtue system, you are called upon to act more that way independently of how your spouse acts in return. Now I'm getting a little bit into quicksand here because if the more faithful person has a view of I'm the holy one in this relationship and that person is not, so how dare you imply that I could go further in being a better spouse? They're the one who needs to straighten up. But if I say, well, by your own admission, you proclaim that your faith is very important to you. And if it is, then it obligates you to act differently toward your spouse than that spouse acts toward you. Well, wait a minute. Now, hold on there. Now I'm in big trouble. Because if the more religious spouse came in thinking, make my other person in this marriage more religious, because I'm tired of being the religious one. Now, it may be that already that person is more forgiving, more giving, more tolerant, kinder than the spouse. That may already be. Sometimes it's not, though, by the way. I just want to tell you that. Sometimes it's not. I know that's a shocker. But if I say, okay, then part of your frustration is that your spouse doesn't live up to the faith that you do, that you proclaim, do you expect them to? They don't believe like you do. Now, maybe they'll come to that. Maybe we can work on that. But at this point, they don't. So you're the one who has to live more by those virtues and principles. Now, how does that go over? Not well. I've had a couple of occasions where the more religious spouse, one, crumpled up the check and threw it on my desk and stormed out. Another absolutely refused to come back. Why? Because in their mind, the other person was the problem. They were the holy one. They were the religious one. And that other person needed to straighten up. And they came to counseling because I'm supposed to tell them to straighten up. Now, obviously, given enough time, we could work on that. Both partners could get better at who they are. But if one says, I am more religious, the faith means more to me than that other person, and that is the problem in our relationship or one of the big ones, by extension, the religious person is operating out of a different set of principles. And those principles ask, dare I say, require the person to be, in many respects, easier to live with. Why does that make people angry? Well, as I said before, some of them already think they're doing that. You can always do it better, by the way. And take it from a therapist. We generally tend to see ourselves as better than we are. But also, their view is that person over there needs to straighten up a lot more than I do. And if you're going to imply that I have any role to play in this problematic marriage, you're way off. And so they get upset. It's interesting. That is interesting because generally, after doing this all these years, believe it or not, I am slow enough, sensitive enough to pick up where somebody might be hypersensitive to anything that's said or brought up or observed. So I'm real careful how I do it, when I do it, at what point I do it, with what words I use to do it. But in those cases, there's been times when no matter how delicate I approach it, the implication is, how dare you imply that I, the more holy one, could be better at this. 877-573-7825. 877-57-equal is the number to call. I'm Dr. Ray. Thanks for joining me.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Catholic law is not cynical about human government, but it does understand its limitations. Let me just quote from the Catechism. Human society can be neither well-ordered nor prosperous unless it has some people invested with legitimate authority to preserve its institutions and to devote themselves as far as is necessary to work and care for the good of all. Every human community needs an authority to govern it. Now, we know that, of course. The family has a certain authority, business has an authority, and government has certain authorities. We are blessed in that in our moment in history, governments are composed in by the consent of the governed. It means we have to look beyond the political rhetoric that's used by politicians and lobbyists to sell a bill or a referendum item. And so I would just stress time and again, don't be cynical, but be prudent. Don't be suspicious, but be inquiring.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Aspiring to inspire before I expire. Good to have you with me. Dr. Ray Grandy, program here. Doctor is in. 877-57-EQUAL. Oh, I would love to hear from you. Andrew is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Question. Who diagnosed your wife borderline personality?
Well, she was diagnosed probably about 13 years ago by an actual psychologist. She went through several different doctors, and they diagnosed her with depression, anxiety, borderline personality disorder. They put her on medication. She was on medication for quite some time, but now she's not. And now she's starting to get back on, and she's just now starting to be using more psychologists, but I think you're the only person that she actually listens to now.
Is she seeing somebody now?
Well, she had been. She just stopped seeing them. She, like, within the last 2 weeks, she stopped seeing them because they were not helping her the way she felt she needed to be helped.
How was that? What did she have in mind where she would say,
well,
they're on my wavelength?
So she's actually been trying for disability for the last 2 years because of her mental health has kept her from being able to work. I've actually been her full-time caregiver, and by that I mean I've just not been working, and I've just been staying with her for 3 years. We sold our house. We moved into an RV, and we've been doing that just so that I can stay with her 24 hours a day.
How do you have money to live on?
Well, we do what we can with DoorDash. Her mother helps me out a little bit, and we don't have much.
Do you have kids?
So, no, we don't have kids. We don't have kids. We've actually decided that years ago that she just didn't have the mental capacity in order to have a child, and her disorder would be agitated with pregnancy, and so we've not done that. I'm 34, she's 33.
Does your presence there, Andrew, you think actually help?
Sometimes I do. Other times I think it exasperates the situation and makes it worse.
What would happen if you went back to a regular job?
I've tried that, Dr. Ray. I've actually tried that a few times, and she'll call me on her phone panicking. She'll go to my job to try and get me, and I end up having to leave the job because she can't handle it. She threatens to kill herself. She threatens to get really upset. And then once I'm there, she's fine again. Yesterday, we had an issue because I guess I wasn't as
responsive.
Yes, responsive. I wasn't as responsive yesterday. I was a little quiet. And it didn't work for her at night. And I said something. I said I didn't feel like we were a couple because we couldn't have a conversation, and that was the wrong thing to say. And I said I had applied for a job, and that made her upset. And so she started hitting herself. What she does is she gets her fists, and she starts hitting herself in her forehead, each side. And so that she tells me she does that to help her stop, but it doesn't help her stop. She just ends up hurting herself. And so I haven't actually talked to her, but two or three words all morning after we woke up, she's just kind of sitting in the bed. We have a dog and we have a cat, and so I've been playing with them.
When's the last time you yourself went to counseling, Andrew?
Dr. Ray, I haven't been to counseling.
You better.
I've been listening to you since October.
You better. Because if your wife doesn't want to go to counseling, if you think that part of it is she's not getting someone to say to her that she deserves disability, then you need to go to talk with someone to get some support and to get some ideas on how to deal with this behavior.
Right.
How much of it is manipulative and controlling? How much of it is real emotional distress that she doesn't have any control over, which is highly unlikely?
That's funny that you mentioned that. It's funny that you mentioned that because she is now at a point for this last, at least the last year, we've started to get more religious. And by we, I said me, and then she's kind of following along just because she thinks that's what I want her to do. But she's getting there. But she has gotten better at acknowledging and recognizing when she's being maybe manipulative or angry. And all she will do is scream saying she can't stop it. I know what I'm doing, but I can't stop it.
Well, she can.
That's what she keeps her position.
She can. She's mistaken on that. And if she's listening, I hope she hears me say that. Very, very rarely can somebody say I can't stop it and be right.
Right.
I know, Andrew, you're looking for a straightforward answer to an enormously emotionally complex situation with a lot of history and who knows all kinds of other variables. So at this point, you got to know how to deal with this. And one of the things I would wonder if, with all good intentions, you have made it worse.
I sometimes feel that same way. I feel like I have enabled her into feeling like she can do this because I am somebody that will just kind of let it go later. But as after a while, it's been building up, and I don't know how to let it roll off my back anymore. When she gets into her BPD split, she says things that are really ugly and mean.
She should lose the power to make you feel badly because she said so many things that are designed to make you feel badly that I would think you would be numb to them. You would be invulnerable to them. If someone consistently and ragingly attacks, over time, they lose credibility. They don't gain credibility. You don't say it is building up, building up, building up, and that's why I'm so miserable because she keeps doing it. No, actually, it would be something like, I've heard this before. I've been through it for years. It's losing its power. That's where I think a good therapist would help you, Andrew. So
I did just buy your book for her. Jesus, the Master Psychologist, listen to him. And so we've gotten through the first three chapters. We're reading that together. She seems to respond to you very well. And so I'm trying to do that. But group therapy might be the best option, I think.
Go get the other book also. It's called Thinking Like Jesus. It might also add to what you just bought. Get a good counselor, my friend. There's a lot there going on. I can smell it. But this, for me, is not the place to try to do therapy. 877-57-EQUAL. 877-57-EQUAL.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God. But I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence, and in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Was Jesus' risen body the same body He dwelled in while living on earth? According to the Catholic Catechism, it was the same body that was crucified, but it was glorified and different in profound ways from the risen body of Lazarus, which Jesus brought forth from the tomb. Lazarus returned to his same earthly life with the same limitations he had when he left it. Jesus rose with new powers. His body was no longer confined to time and space. He could appear and disappear at will. He could walk through doors. He could also eat and drink as he did with the apostles to prove to them that he was not a ghost. He could appear in whatever guise he chose, as he did with Mary Magdalene when she thought he was the gardener. The reality of the resurrection of the body seemed an impossibility to the disciples. They needed the added impetus of God's grace to accept and believe such a reality. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You know, one of the biggest questions that people have in a situation like Andrew's is the fear of, if I don't yield to this kind of behavior, this person, whether it's a spouse, an adult child, a parent, an older parent, if I don't yield to their behavior, if I don't continue to be controlled by their behavior, bad things can happen. For example, Andrew made the observation that if he quote-unquote can't get a job. Why? Because his wife will go to his job and create a scene. But the question becomes, and I think a therapist can help him with this, what would happen if you didn't quit your job? If, in fact, she created a scene, but you didn't leave your job. That's the question. How much of this is emotional distress, and how much of it is built upon, I will control you with this because I'm feeling insecure, I'm struggling with my own emotions, etc. Now, I don't know. I'm not there. I can't say. But that's always something that is explored in these scenarios where a husband and a wife comes in and says, this is what my spouse is doing. This is the length they will go to control the situation. Anne is calling from Tennessee. Anne is in a situation very much like my situation many years ago with my own wife. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, and me and my husband we were born Catholics, and he grew up in a Catholic household. However, now he is attending a mega church, and I try to go to church every day, and it seems like he is getting so annoyed at me going to church because he says it's taking up so much time away from him, and that now I'm to the point where I kind of sneak out to go to church, including Sundays. And he just made a statement over the weekend that he just wants to be seen as a normal couple and go to his mega church on Sundays. So it breaks my heart because I want him to be close to God, but I don't know what else to do because I want to,
three words.
Yes.
Three words to guide you. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Let it go. Here's why. I had a book I wrote several books ago called When Faith Causes Family Friction. And one of the scenarios in it is very different approaches to the faith by the spouses. The one spouse loves their Catholic faith. The other spouse says, I want to go over here. And I don't want to go with you. And I want you to go with me. When this happened with me and my wife, I was coming back to the Catholic Church, and she was in a non-denominational. I went to her service with her, but I also went to Mass. So I went to Mass first, early, about 7:30, then went over to her service at 9 o'clock with her. Eventually, she came to the Catholic faith. I would suggest that if your husband is that threatened by you going to Mass every day, he thinks you're kind of a freaky. You're kind of weird. True?
He says yes.
No.
He says I'm obsessed.
Okay. So, what now? Some people are going to say, this is unbelievable, Dr. Ray. I can't believe you're going to say this. Go when he's not around. Go when he's at work. Go to noon Mass. Go as much as you can when it doesn't interfere with him being at home.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing.
All right, do that. And don't even tell him you went. You don't have to tell him. If you don't go to Mass every day, you don't go to Mass every day. At this point, you'll want your spouse to see you as not this, quote-unquote, obsessed Catholic as he sees it. If you want to go to service with him, you can do that. There's nothing, I think, against the church saying that you would go there. Now, obviously, you don't take part in their, quote-unquote, whatever they have as communion services. You don't do that. But you go and you sit and you worship with them, and you're there and you do the prayerful and you listen. But the other thing I would explore is, what is moving him to go there? What is it? Is he bored with the Catholic Mass? Does he feel it's irrelevant?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. He just sees it as same old, same old, same old. I go to the, yeah. I feel fed. I feel enthused. I feel uplifted. I love the Bible preaching. We don't even hear the Bible in our church and all the standard cliches. Okay. Mm-hmm. It would behoove you to come to understand. Now, you're very strong on the piety aspect of all this. But to come to really, really understand your faith. Why? What is it about the Mass that he doesn't understand? If he said, we don't even read the Bible. Did you know that in any three-year cycle, if you go to Mass, you've been through the New Testament? Did you know that? So in other words, you're going to be able to explain the faith, and you got to know it yourself. I have a book. I'm pushing books left and right today. Mm-hmm. I have a book called What Catholics Really Believe. It is the edited transcript of a series I did for EWTN with a priest on all of the things, or the major things, that non-denominationals or conservative Protestants have against the Catholic Church. What is it about baptism of kids? What is it about Mary? What is it about the rosary? What is it about the Bible? What is it about priests? What is it about confession? What is it about purgatory? What is it about that thing you call the God of the universe and that little white wafer? All of that. It's very easy to read because it's a dialogue. It's between me and the priest. I left the church for 8 years. I was in the evangelical churches for 8 years. I heard their objections, and I don't doubt that he's going to hear them. It's a rare evangelical church, in my opinion, that can preach Jesus and not take slaps at the Catholic Church. And most of the time, what they slap at, they have no understanding of. None. They slap cliches.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know so that you can answer his objections quietly, gently. You're not going to push him to come back to the Catholic Church. You're done with that. That's over.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're going to do is you're going to show him that your Catholic faith is making you an absolutely adorable wife. It's not making you a freako. It's making you so much easier to live with. And that's right. That's the thing. And be grateful. You know, when he was in the Catholic Church, he was probably bored and not paying attention and couldn't wait to get out of there because he wanted
it
to get the...
It was an obligation.
Yeah, right. Well, maybe, maybe his faith will come alive in the non-denominational. And that would be good. Mm-hmm. That would be good. And that would be eventually an opening for him to start looking back at the Catholic Church and seeing what she truly has to offer, which right now he doesn't understand at all. If you want that book, and it's on my website, drray.com, it's there. And I think it'll help you. If it doesn't, if he doesn't want to look at it, that's fine. But you can look at it and maybe start to answer some of his questions.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
There are legitimate differences of opinion in any religion. There are differences of opinion in Catholicism. But in Catholicism, you expect that people will take the teaching of its supreme authority seriously. To go diametrically opposed to those teachings is to not be a Catholic. Someone in the name of Catholicism is sponsoring the destruction of human life. Lives of unborn children. And they got the name Catholic on the door. The highest authority in Catholicism and the encyclical Humanae Vitae, Evangelium Vitae, is absolutely clear that no Catholic can support abortion and that Catholics are responsible to take serious action against legalized abortion.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him? Is that true? It's not true for most people in the church. Is Jesus my best friend? Is he your best friend? I'm looking around the church. There's a set of guys in here who have great man caves. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord said, hey, when are you going to come to my man cave? Like, you guys think a flat screen TV is really cool. Well, you should see what I got to offer. Because I and I alone, he says, can really give you what it is you're longing for. Whoever it is we're rooting for right now, they're going to lose eventually. Or whatever it is that's occupying our time, one day we're going to realize it really wasn't that important. Why aren't we hanging out with the one who alone can show us what life is really all about? When's the last time you hung out in the Lord's man cave?
Owen was there and he left. But Owen, if you're still there, I'll answer your question. You mentioned medication. Early in the call from Andrew, he said that his wife had off and on been on medication the last many years and that currently she's not, but she was. And when she wasn't, it was because she decided not to. So, in fact, medication was part and parcel of that picture. Delia from San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Delia. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Ray.
That's a pretty tragic situation there.
It's terrible. And when I think about it, excuse me, I just want to cry because I don't know how to explain it to him. I don't know how to make him understand. I don't want him to lose his faith. But he says, you know, he says, but why would God, first of all, I tell him society is a horrible place, but can be cruel. And he says, but why would he be so scared that he would do that, you know, being so close to God? Because his family is very religious and his family was active in the church. And apparently the parents never knew the situation, and it's just a terrible situation, and it's hard to understand for everybody.
One of the things I would explain to your grandson is that we don't know why his friend was so confused. How does he know that his friend thinks that he was same-sex attracted?
Because after he had passed, he was talking to a group of friends, one of the other friends, and she had told him that she knew that he was same-sex attractive and that she knew that he had had a crush on somebody. And he was very scared, you know. He was very scared, and I don't know, I'm thinking that he felt that it was so wrong because of his faith, that maybe he felt like he wasn't worthy, or
here's the problem.
So hard.
When your grandson, how old is your grandson? 13?
13.
How old was the friend?
13.
When your grandson tries to put together the pieces of why this happened, there's a pretty good chance he's going to be wrong. I think the perspective that you can take with him that might help is,
okay,
we really can't know what was inside your friend's head. We can't know. We don't know. Only God knows.
Yeah.
And then you can take a chance. You can show him the mercy of God and the church by saying, the church teaches that your friend may still be able to go to heaven because only God knows his state of mind when he did this. I would suspect your grandson is shook up because he's thinking, my friend's gone to hell. And I don't think that's fit. Yeah, no, straighten it out for him. You can't know that. You can't. Our church is beautiful that way. It says that what his friend did was definitely wrong, but how much he can be held responsible is known only to God. Well, Grandma, do you mean he could be in heaven? He could be. Could be. And we don't know exactly why he thought he was same-sex attracted either. Because so many kids now are confused by our culture's crazy sexuality every which way but loose. And more young people are misreading some of the natural attraction that happens, and therefore they conclude things that they may outgrow as they develop. So we really don't know what it was. And if we say, well, you know, it must have been related to the fact that his parents were real religious, that's what it was. No, son, we don't know that either. We don't know any of that. All we know is this was a very confused young man. That's what we know. We don't know who's talked to him. We don't know what he's seen on TV. We don't know how he misinterpreted things. We don't know any of that. Nobody knows any of that. So we can't blame God or the church for this. But what we can do is hold on to the hope on the mercy of God. And that's what we can do. That's what our church would say. That's what you got to explain to your grandson. You got to show him the mercy of the church in this rather than, okay, Grandma, God made him that way. And then he went and he did that. So really, it's God's fault. That's just bad reasoning, bad thinking, and maybe you can go a long way in straightening that out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank
you. I'll tell you what, Delia, I have seen so stinking many kids confused and messed up by the cultural rot that tries to tell them all about sexuality. Mm-hmm. Every which way but loose, everything, no matter the risk to it, no matter the confusion, no matter the developmental questions involved with it, no matter the social, the pressure socially that's there, so much of that is not being debated. And it's just messing up so, so many kids.
It's such, it's terrible because, I don't know, sometimes I have no words because I don't understand it, why, how society doesn't find room to address that and how, you know, maybe the church too could maybe address it somehow.
Well, the church has in a lot of ways. The church has in a lot of ways, but I think that eventually the church and its teachings, and again, when you say the church, that's a pretty broad word, but that yeah. the thinkers within the church are going to have to start speaking up and saying so much of what is happening out there culturally is really hitting a lot of vulnerable kids. It truly is. And they're confused at all. Get out. I'm on the front lines. I'm sitting in the very first row of the bleachers watching all this. And so many of these kids are so confused about who they are, what they're attracted to, what they're not attracted to, what's okay, what isn't okay, what their friends want them to do, what their friends don't want them to do. And it just goes on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I hope that we're going to start taking a more broad view of this and all the factors that are interplaying in so much of this tragedy.
Yeah.
Glad he's got you to explain it, Delia, but you might want to help his parents out too, because I gotta believe that his parents are just devastated and scouring their own parenthood and wondering, how did we miss it? How were we deficient? How did we cause it? They're just torturing themselves, I have no doubt, unfortunately.
I think they're still in shock, basically. I think.
It is very hard to predict somebody's suicide if they want to keep it quiet. Very hard.
But even a child at such a young age.
Oh, that's rare. That it used to be so rare, that young age. And this is one sign of the cultural deterioration, the cultural meaningless among so many kids who aren't given any kind of religious base. When you're meaningless about your status in life, the suicide rate is going backward. A 13-year-old committing suicide was so rare. I remember I had one when I was in the schools. And I was shocked. This kid was in the eighth grade. I was shocked how young he was, because that was just almost unheard of. Not anymore. Thanks, Delia. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Dr. Ray. Uh-huh. If you'd like to get in one more time before the end of the program, 877-57-EQUAL. Thank you for your call.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is the logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, "Appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world." Once a woman said to me,
"God doesn't exist. No one's ever seen him."
Where'd that come from?
What?
That thought.
That God doesn't exist?
Yes.
I just thought it.
Then it doesn't exist.
What doesn't exist?
Your thought, because I couldn't see it.
Come on. You know what I mean.
Well, I couldn't believe in a God I could see anyway.
Why not?
I want a real God that's capable of seeing everything, even into the future, and all at once. A God that's beyond this physical world and being seen.
Well, I admit that'd be a God to be appreciated.
And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic Adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
All right, we're trying to squeeze in a couple more calls. Owen from Houston, Texas. I did answer Owen's question. He had to go, but he is calling back. Hi, Owen. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
My answer to you was that early in the call from Andrew, he mentioned that his wife had off and on over the years been on medication, and currently she decided she didn't want it or need it, but medication was something that she had been on, and I believe that she had either been through a psychiatrist or perhaps her general practitioner.
Yeah, well, you know, I just was thinking about my own case with this bipolar stuff, and they started giving me venlafaxine, I think it is, 30 years ago, and it changed my whole life. No smoking, no drinking, a lot less sinning, and seemed to have a calmer thing. But I was just, you know, testifying for that. I'd never think about quit, you know, to cease taking it because of the difference it made. But I see those people suffering, and I know how bad it can be, and I just hope that they seek the counseling. But that sounds like a hard road without some medication.
The common question among people of faith is, would I be wrong in taking medication? What does the church say about it? Do I need it? Well, the church says that medication is perfectly fine if it helps to restore you to what you were meant to be. If you got something wrong and the medication will be helpful for you, the church says not only do they have no reluctance to talk about it, but they approve. In your case, you've been on it for what, 30 years?
Well, maybe 25. I'm just trying to guess.
And I assume in those 25 years, you've also grown in a lot of other ways.
I have. And the first day I took a pill, later in that afternoon, I was driving along and tears came to my eyes because I said, oh, is this how I'm supposed to feel? It wasn't like I was high or anything. It was just I was relaxed and I could concentrate on things. And normally, everything with me was such a quick flash reaction. You know, with bipolar, it's low or it's high or whatever. But this made a huge difference in my demeanor, and I'm sure my wife appreciated it. And so did my four sons.
Owen, did you say that the day you were driving away from the doctor who gave you the meds, that you immediately felt better?
What's that? Did I feel better?
Immediately, yeah. The day you got the meds and driving away, you got your prescription filled.
It wasn't long after that, no. Okay. Maybe a couple hours.
Well, that's interesting because at that time, back 25 years ago, the meds that we had chemically worked right away quick, but clinically took a couple of weeks. So for whatever the reason, I'm glad you felt better, but my guess would be that the medication actually worked in a week or two, but you had such confidence in the meds and you felt either some sense of sedation or something that you interpreted as, I certainly feel better now. Now that's okay. It's okay.
It could have been the power of suggestion, right, by the psychiatrist.
It could have been. It could have been because
you
that psychiatrist
feel better
probably.
Right away.
Yeah, that's exactly right. These meds will help right away, quick. So, well, I'm glad to hear the good news, Owen. Good to hear.
Well, I appreciate the show, and I enjoy listening to it. Thank you.
All right.
And
sir,
the name of your first book was what?
Well, it wasn't my first. I think it was number 15, but it was called Thinking Like Jesus.
Oh, yes. I heard you say that. That's great.
The Psychology of a Faithful Disciple. And then the most recent one is Jesus the Master Psychologist.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right, my friend. Take care. And thanks, all of you. And thanks, Andrew Krucek, producer man over there in Ave Maria's Land, co-production with EWTN, and Eric Dumont, first line call screamer. So I very much appreciate it. They make this show all happen, all go. They're the important stuff. They can always get another host, but I can't get another one of those guys. So good to have them, and good to have you. I appreciate it. Walk with God. That's the way to live the best life. It is, you know.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.